नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we welcome all the devotees for today's Sunday feast program. The 7th of this month, we celebrated the auspicious Sharad Purnima celebrations, which actually heralded the marking of this Kartik month, in which Krishna performed so many of his wonderful and sweet pastimes. This month of Kartik is also known as the month of Srimati Radharani. And following this month is the month of Margashirsha. And Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Masanam Margashirshanam. Amongst the months, I am the month of Margashirsha. So Kartik is a representation of Srimati Radharani, and Margashirsha is a representation of Lord Shri Krishna. And in our Gaudiya Siddhanta, we can't approach Lord Shri Krishna directly. We have to approach him through Srimati Radharani. So similarly, these 2 months are also arranged accordingly, that in order to enter into the month of Margashirsha, which represents Krishna, we have to pass through this month of Kartik, which represents Srimati Radharani. And just as Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimati Radharani is the Supreme Personality of servitorship. And just like we are part and parcel of Krishna, similarly, the bhakti within us is the part and parcel of the bhakti of Srimati Radharani. So since this month embodies the qualities of Srimati Radharani, and so many pastimes Krishna has performed in this particular month, so I thought of speaking on a particular theme in which what we can learn from few of the pastimes which we'll be discussing today, as far as our devotional service is concerned. Now, yes, Krishna performed such beautiful pastimes in this month of Kartik, but more than Krishna's qualities, if we actually go through all these pastimes which Krishna performed, it was the devotees of Krishna and their glories was outshone. And of course, we discussed because it is the month of Srimati Radharani, who is a Supreme Personality of pure devotional service. So I thought of picking up 3 pastimes which Krishna performed in this month of Kartik. Of course, performed unlimited pastimes, but since we are limited, so we are just picking up 3 pastimes. And I see some strange looks after hearing 3 pastimes. In fact, 4. And we'll see how each of these pastimes, they exemplify a beautiful aspect of devotional service, which we have to learn in order to follow in the footsteps of Srimati Radharani, who is the supreme devotee of Krishna, and specifically in this particular month. So I thought of the all-time hit Govardhan Leela, which Krishna performed and will be celebrating in the coming week in this particular month of Kartik. And through this particular pastime, the quality of faith was exemplified of the Brajavasis. So Govardhan Leela exemplifies the quality of faith in Krishna. And then of course, since this is also the month of Damodar, we'll be touching upon this wonderful pastime which Krishna performed, Sri Damodar Leela. And through this Damodar Leela, the quality of determination was exemplified. Yashoda's determination to bind Krishna. So for us, what we can learn is how to follow in the footsteps of Yashoda Mai in order to develop this quality of determination to achieve Krishna. And thirdly, we'll be touching upon this most esoteric pastime of Sri Rasa Leela, in which the quality of ultimate wholesale surrender of the gopis was exemplified. So Krishna, through these three pastimes, he exemplified these three qualities through Govardhan Leela, the quality of faith of the Brajavasis in him, through Damodar Leela, the quality of determination, and through Ras Leela, the quality of ultimate surrender. And fourthly, of course, the access link to all of these pastimes also is in this month of Kartik, and that is the divine disappearance of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and how Srila Prabhupada embodied unflinching faith, rock steady determination, and ultimate wholesale surrender unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we'll be discussing about him also. Sanatan Goswami, in a beautiful verse, he explained, Krishnena na vrajajana kilamohitaste taisyahvyamohi bhagavan iti satyameva gatva mayaiva sahivismrita deva karyo nusmariti kimiti krityana ho kathanchit. He's explaining in this beautiful verse that when Krishna appeared in Sri Brajadham, and Krishna, after he appeared, he showed his opulences also by lifting the Govardhan hill, by killing so many demons, showing his universal form. So Krishna did show his opulence also in Vrindavan. But Sanatan Goswami is saying that all these opulences which Krishna might have shown, the Brajavasis were not at all affected. Krishnena na vrajajana kila mohitaste. They were not at all mohit by the aishwarya of Krishna. In fact, taisa vyamohi bhagavan iti satyameva. The truth is this, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna himself, was vyamohit. Rather than the Brajabasis becoming vyamohit because of seeing Krishna's opulences, Krishna himself was bewildered and totally astonished to see the love of the Brajavasis. So much so that he forgot his devakarya. Gatva mayaiva sahi vismrita devakarya. He was so much enchanted by the love of the Brajavasis that he forgot that he has to come out of Vrindavan and he has to kill Kamsa, he has to kill so many other demons. And Narad Muni had to come and Narad Muni had to inform Lord Sri Krishna. Narad Muni gave a list pending. So many demons pending yet. So when Narad Muni reminded Krishna, then Krishna, he actually remembered that, yes, I have to kill so many other demons. And then he came out of Vrindavan. So Sanatan Goswami is saying that that was the condition as far as the relationship between the Brajavasis and Lord Sri Krishna is concerned. Rupa Goswami gives a beautiful example corroborating the fact what was the love of the Brajavasis for Krishna and the love of the Dwarka Vasis or the Mathura Vasis. He gives this example. If you have a golden pot and you place a dazzling diamond within that pot. Now, because it's gold and the diamond is also dazzling in its nature, so therefore, you know, the association of that golden pot with that dazzling diamond will definitely give rise to so much of luminosity. But Rupa Goswami is saying that if you pour on top of that dazzling diamond which is in that golden pot thick condensed ghee, then that thick condensed ghee will not allow you to see then that dazzling diamond, the bottom of that pot. You can't see through the condensed ghee, that dazzling diamond. But how can you see? If you just boil that ghee, if there is some flame below that pot and the ghee starts to boil and melt, then in that melted ghee easily you can spot that dazzling diamond. So Rupa Goswami is giving this wonderful analogy to differentiate the love of the Brajavasis from the love of the Dwarka Vasis and the Mathura Vasis. He's saying that the love of the Brajavasis is like the condensed ghee. The dazzling diamond is like the Aishwarya of Krishna. And the love of the Vrindavan Vasis is like condensed ghee. And through that, they are unable to see that Aishwarya like diamond of Krishna. But as far as the Dwarka Vasis and the Mathura Vasis are concerned, their love is like that ghee melted, and they can see through the Aishwarya of Krishna. When Arjun saw the Vishwaroop, before that he would be sleeping with Krishna, eating with Krishna, joking with Krishna, but after he saw the Vishwaroop, his ghee also melted. And then he's paying his obeisances from all sides. But as far as the Brajavasis are concerned, their love is so thick, is so condensed, that in spite of Krishna sometimes trying to take out that diamond from the corners of that pot to show, you know, I have some opulences also, by the way. You know, it was totally obscured. They couldn't see that. Like one beautiful scripture, Krishna Bhavanamrita explains that one time Krishna, in the pasturing grounds, he was playing with a ball. And while playing with the ball, Sridhama came. And Sridhama was preparing now to wrestle with Krishna as every day he would do. So Krishna, while playing with that ball, looking at Sridhama, who was preparing to wrestle with him, Krishna is telling to Sridhama, Sridhama, what do you think? Every day, you win over me. Do you think that you are more powerful than me just because you win over me in these wrestling matches? Just a particle of my roar can burst your eardrums. And Sridhama called all the cowherd boyfriends that some fun going on here. Krishna is a little humorous today, cracking some jokes today. So all the cowherd boyfriends, they came. And then Sridhama, he tells to Krishna, start again. So Krishna is telling, Sridhama, you should understand that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, the Samam Bonam. And you are dealing with the Supreme Personality. And you know, if you really want to save your skin, just run away from this place. Otherwise, my bolt-like arms can pulverize you. And everyone, you know, they held their bellies and started laughing. Who is saying this? And Krishna, when he saw that everyone is laughing at him, so Krishna, he then putting up his credentials, you know, his CV, he told to Sridhama, you forgot when I killed Putana? Huh? All of you looked at the cowherd boyfriends. All of you saw that? I was only 6 days old when I killed that 12-mile-long witch Putana. All of you saw that? Okay? And everyone was smiling. Yes, yes. We know. We know all about that. And then Krishna said, if you don't believe in that, I saved you from that Aghasur. All of you, you were practically dead. I revived you. Not only killed that Aghasur, I revived you back. You are living right now because of me, at my expense. And as Krishna was going on, everyone was laughing like anything. So Krishna became a little serious and he said, come on. And that Govardhan, which I lifted for 7 days. None of you took photos? Something like that. That Govardhan which I lifted for 7 days and seven nights on the little finger of my left hand, all of you would have drowned that deluge. And I saved you lifting that Govardhan hill. Have you all forgotten? Have you all not seen my power? And Sridhama, he came forward. Okay. I'll explain now. I'll clarify what Krishna is now saying. So he took the dais. And Sridhama is saying that, first of all, you are saying that you killed Putana when you were 6 days old. So now I will reveal the conspiracy theory here. It was actually the Brahmanas who were simultaneously chanting pure mantras. And because of their chanting of pure mantras, Putana had already died. And you happened to be on her. And then, you know, the certificate was given to you. Oh, Krishna, he became like, come on, how can you say such a ridiculous thing? And everyone said, yes, Sridhama is right. We had heard the purified mantras chanted by those Brahmanas. And then Krishna, yes, and what about Aghasur? You were all there, inside, dead. I revived you. I killed Aghasur. And the cowherd boys, you know, they again started laughing and Sridhama said, actually, what happened was, we entered into Aghasur and we had already killed Aghasur. And again, it was him who just walked in and he got all the credits. And got the title Aghanishudhan. So Sridhama is like, I'm just revealing all the conspiracies, all these pastimes. Speak more, Krishna. And Krishna is saying, and Govardhan? Oh, Krishna, you know, a little faltering voice because what's coming up now for Govardhan, he didn't know. And what about Govardhan? I lifted 7 days, seven nights. Sridhama said, now I'll reveal about this conspiracy. What had happened, if you all remember, Before Krishna lifted Govardhan, we had performed Govardhan Puja. And because we had performed Govardhan Puja, Govardhan became so ecstatic. Became so ecstatic that leaped up in air. Govardhan just leaped up in air and Krishna just went below and, you know, held his finger. So Krishna, if you want to save your skin, just run away from this place. Ask your shoulders, they are witness, how many times they have carried me in defeat. So that was the love of the Brajavasis for Lord Sri Krishna. And Krishna relished that kind of love. Now as far as the Govardhan Leela is concerned, we see that so many reasons are given why Krishna lifted this Govardhan hill. It's like when Putana came, Krishna closed his eyes. Nimili Tekshana, it is mentioned by Shukadeva Goswami. Krishna closed his eyes, and Acharyas have given so many reasons why Krishna closed his eyes. Of course, one reason is so that we keep on discussing why Krishna closed his eyes for the rest of eternity. So similarly, why Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill is also for this reason that we keep on discussing, why did Krishna lift the Govardhan hill? Was it for Indra? Was it for Nanda Maharaj? Was it for all the Brajavasis? Was it for Govardhan? So we can discuss it all throughout our life, why Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. But today we are focusing on this reason. Krishna wanted to exemplify this quality of faith of his dear Brajavasis, faith in him. And when Krishna approached Nanda Maharaj and told him that it's no use performing this Indra Yajna, I have a better option for you. And Nanda Maharaj, he just asked few questions, expressed just few doubts as to why we should not perform Indra Yajna. First of all, he explained why we should perform, why we have been performing all these years. And we know Krishna started speaking the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, that you perform your karma and the demigods, including Indra, they have to reciprocate. Now, Nanda Maharaj didn't understand a single word of that philosophy, but Nanda Maharaj was simply amazed at the Vak Shakti of Krishna. He was just dazed looking at Krishna. What a wonderful son I have. What a wonderful way he speaks. So Nanda Maharaj was simply amused and surprised at the Vak Shakti of Krishna as Krishna was speaking the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. But then when Indra became angry and when he called Samvartaka clouds and asked the Samvartaka clouds to drown the entire Vrindavan. Now herein we can see that the Brajavasis, when the torrential rains were on them, over here you can see the faith. Of course, the first time, it's Nanda Maharaj's faith that Nanda Maharaj told to Krishna that, okay, Krishna, whatever you say, we'll do. So it was not that Nanda Maharaj was expressing his doubts to Krishna, saying that, Krishna, you are just a small little son of mine and Indra is, you know, the supreme demigod. And you have been performing, by the way, you know, this Indra Yajna for all these years. Immediately when Krishna, he proposed that we should perform Govardhan Puja instead of Indra Yajna, Nanda Maharaj and all the other elderly cowherd men, they agreed, okay, Krishna, whatever you say, because our life is meant to please you. So this is the first instance in this pastime when they expressed their unflinching faith in Krishna's words. And when the torrential rain started, again it was not that they were running for some umbrellas or raincoats, you know, to save themselves. Krishna, Krishna Mahabhaga, Tvannatham Gokulam Prabho, Tratum Arhasi Devana, kupitad bhakta vatsala. They ran to Krishna. And it was not that they came together and they decided that because we didn't perform the Indra Yajna, therefore Indra has become so angry. So forget about this Govardhan Puja, forget about Krishna, let's start Indra Yajna immediately. Again, they didn't go back to Indra Yajna, they went to Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj approached Krishna, all the cowherd men, ladies, gopas, gopis, they approached Krishna. And Krishna jokingly is telling to Nanda Maharaj, see my dear father, I told you, Indra has to shower rains. Even if you don't perform Indra Yajna, I told you he has to give rains. And today he is so happy that never before we have received so much rain. 1,000 times more, you know, it's raining in Vrindavan. He has become so happy. Why? Because you have worshipped Govardhan. So, Nanda Maharaj, you know, he smiled and he told to Krishna, you should just go outside and have a look whether it's really what we wanted, those kind of rains. So, of course, Krishna had decided, already planned, to glorify the Brajvasis, to glorify Govardhan, also wanted to inaugurate this Govardhan puja, worship of Govardhan. So that was the reason why Krishna had done all of that. So then it is explained that Krishna, immediately he started from the porch of his house towards Govardhan. He didn't say anything that what I'm going to do. He just started marching towards Govardhan. And it's beautifully explained that as Krishna was marching towards Govardhan, the partial expansion of Krishna, the Yogamaya potency, the Samharika Shakti, as Krishna was walking, it was raining cats and dogs all over. But as Krishna was walking through the pathway towards Govardhan, over Krishna, there was not even a single drop of rain. And why it was like that? Because Krishna had to stand there for 7 days and seven nights. So therefore, the Samharika Shakti made sure that Krishna is dry enough under Govardhan, because he has to stand under Govardhan for 7 days and seven nights. Otherwise, he'll get some cold. So therefore, just above Krishna, you know, there was kind of a veneer of this Shakti. And not even a single drop of that rain fell on Krishna's lotus body. And Krishna just wanted to tease Indra more. Now, generally, whenever Krishna would perform some Herculean task, it is explained Krishna would tighten his waist belt. Whenever he would kill some demon, when he killed Kaliya, before jumping, he tightened his waist belt. But over here, he didn't do anything. Before lifting Govardhan Hill, he didn't tie his waist belt. Just to tease Indra that you are nothing. In order to defeat you, I don't even have to tighten my waist belt. So Krishna, he just using both of his lotus hands, he first started lifting the Govardhan Hill. And all the Brajavasis followed behind Krishna. And they were wondering, what is Krishna doing? Again, is he going to start the Govardhan Puja? We already performed it. And again, is he going to instigate more anger into Indra? And over there, Krishna, when he started lifting the Govardhan, it is explained by our acharyas that the scene was so splendid. As Krishna was lifting, dislodging Govardhan from Mother Earth, the sound which was emanated, it was deafening. There were loud echoes all over. The sound was so tumultuous that it reached Brahma Loka, and Lord Brahma's meditation was broken. And he kind of was trying to figure out from where this sound is coming as Govardhan was on its way up. So Brahmaji's meditation broke. And there was a wine drinking party going on in Swargaloka that was totally disturbed because of just the sound of Govardhan as it was going up. And as Govardhan was going up, Govardhan was in such ecstasy upon being touched by the lotus hands of Krishna that immediately flowers from the beautiful Kalpavriksha trees from Govardhan's body, they started falling at the feet of Krishna as an offering by Govardhan at the lotus feet of Krishna. And then, as Govardhan was now going up, it was just, you know, towards the torso of Krishna, it was going up. At that particular moment itself, it had pierced the clouds. That's how big Govardhan was. As it was just, you know, near the chest of Krishna, as Krishna was lifting it, it had already pierced the clouds. And the sound was reverberating as if it was cracking the entire universe. And then as Krishna lifted it even more higher, it went up so high beyond all the spheres of this universe that the topmost peaks, Kailash and Sumeru, who had been sleeping for so many years, they woke up. So it is explained that Kailash and Sumeru, as they were having a nice sleep, they saw, which is this third mountain coming up? And it is going above us. And they woke up. That was how high Govardhan was going as Krishna was lifting. And all the lions and other ferocious animals on Govardhan, when they saw these huge clouds just, you know, so close to them, so these ferocious lions, they thought that they look like some big elephants. So they started beating these clouds. These lions started beating these clouds, thinking that they are some elephants. And just within a fraction of a moment, Krishna turned his left hand, and with a little finger of his left hand, he just balanced Govardhan. And the scene was so beautiful. From a distance, it appeared as if Govardhan was like a huge umbrella and Krishna was like the pole, was like an emerald pole of that umbrella, as Krishna was holding the little finger of his left hand, this huge Govardhan. It was such a beautiful scene, and all the Brajbasis, you know, they were expressing in superlatives, incredible, splendid, something we have never seen before. And as Krishna was holding, Brajvasis were still outside, just looking at the mammoth size of this mountain, just held as if it was just suspended on Krishna's little finger. They were just so amazed and surprised. And then Krishna looked, spotted at Nanda Maharaj. And then Krishna told to Nanda Maharaj that, "Do not fear, all of you now can take shelter under Sri Govardhan. Do not fear that this may fall upon you, because it's not me who is lifting this Govardhan. It's actually Govardhan itself, himself has suspended in the space, and I'm just putting my finger below it. So don't worry," because Krishna thought that if they are doubting, you know, my little finger's power, then Krishna thought that, Let me reassure them. It's actually, you know, Govardhan, which is just suspended in the sky, and I'm just putting my finger below it. And for them, no explanation was needed. Immediately, Nanda Maharaj and everyone, they just came below Govardhan. Now, as Govardhan, one could ask this question, that as Govardhan was going up, now it was all flooded outside. It was like, you know, rivers of this rainwater flowing in Vrindavan, as we have heard so many times that each drop was like a column. So how was that, that all that water didn't flow in under Govardhan also? So as Govardhan was going up, chunks of loose earth was falling and it was making a beautiful periphery, made a peripheral wall, a boundary wall for all the Brajbasis to enter first, and then no water could enter. It was just Krishna and the Brajbasis, and Krishna created a beautiful township under Govardhan. It was not that, you know, earthworms and all these. Sometimes, you know, you pick up a stone, you know, which is, you know, stuck in the mud for a long time, and you lift it up, you find some earthworms crawling out. So it was not that all those kind of living entities were coming out. Krishna created a beautiful township. There were huge lakes, mansions, palaces, gardens. And because it was all pitch dark, the Samvartaka clouds were so thick that no sun ray could penetrate. So when Krishna saw that it's all pitch dark, immediately Krishna looked at his toenails. That was the power station. Just Krishna looked at his toenails and everything lit up. The entire township below Govardhan lit up. And all the Brajbasis, Nanda Maharaj headed them, and all of them took shelter under Sri Govardhan. And as Krishna now was holding, and everyone was looking at the gorgeous form of Krishna, now for 7 days and seven nights, Krishna was going to enjoy wonderful pastimes in all rasas with all the Brajbasis. Now, immediately, the first one to speak up to Krishna, as Krishna, by this time, you know, everyone was speechless. They were just looking at what's happening, what's all going on. So the first one to speak up was Madhu Mangal. So Madhu Mangal, he looked at Krishna as Krishna was holding the Govardhan, and he told to Krishna, Krishna, you don't worry, I'm a Brahmana, and you don't know my Brahma Tejas. You just hand over this Govardhan to me. And my little golden stick, I'll just, you know, hold this Govardhan, and my Brahma Tejas is all powerful and it can hold this Govardhan Parvat. You relax. When Madhu Mangal is here, why fear? You know, just relax, Krishna. Just hand over this Govardhan on my little golden stick and my Brahma Tejas will hold it. So Krishna, he just tilted it a little. Okay, you know, from that side you try. And as, you know, Madhu Mangal tried with his little golden stick from just one side, he just, you know, came crashing down. And Krishna started smiling. So then Yashoda Mai, her expression. Now here Madhu Mangal and all the other cowherd boyfriends who were in Sakhya Ras, they were having some nice joking emotions with Krishna. But as far as Yashoda Mai, she was in utter tension. And she was just looking at Krishna, the little finger and the huge mountain. And her concern was, Krishna, it's been a long time. Better we go out, you keep this mountain down, because I'm just worried about your little finger. She was not worried about, you know, that the mountain will fall on them, a mountain will fall on her. She was only worried about the little finger of Krishna. And she was constantly looking at the little finger of Krishna. And then she, along with other elderly gopis, they went and they started massaging the various other limbs of Krishna so that Krishna should not be fatigued. So Yashoda Mai, you know, she's saying that your hand, which is softer than butter, I know your limbs. Every day I dress you, I bathe you, I know your limbs are so soft. And this huge mountain, which is just, you know, held on your little finger, I don't know what's going to happen to your little finger. And then Krishna, he's explaining to Mother Yashoda that, don't worry, I'm perfectly okay over here. And Madhu Mangal in between, he comes and he tells to Mother Yashoda, actually we should thank Indra. That because of Indra, we are able to see this wonderful pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan head. And Yashoda Mai, she slapped Madhumangal. You call this a pastime? My poor baby has to lift this huge load and you are simply under it, enjoying, and you are calling this as a pastime? And Krishna is telling to Mother Yashoda that don't worry, actually, I'm enjoying just lifting this Govardhan hill. And then again, he told to Mother Yashoda, it's not me, Govardhan is just, you know, it's suspended in sky. And Mother Yashoda, she looks carefully and she tells to Krishna, if it is suspended in sky, why it is suspended over your little finger? Why it is not suspended anywhere else? So then Krishna, always in front of Mother Yashoda, he would be defeated. So Krishna again, he couldn't speak anything, he was speechless. And then Batu, Madhumangal, is again telling to Krishna that actually, I'll tell you Krishna, and he was speaking to Mother Yashoda also, that she could also hear, that again I'll tell you that it is my Brahma Tejas, because of which this Govardhan is suspended in sky, as you are saying. So Mother Yashoda, she became so angry on Madhumangal that you stop your nonsense. And over here, let me try to protect my little Krishna. And as these talks were going on, all the other Brajvasis, they were just looking at the elegant form of Krishna, which they have never observed so closely. Many of the Brajvasis, for the first time, they were observing, transfixed their eyes, looking at the elegant form of Krishna, as Krishna's left armpit were open and he was holding the little finger that Govardhan held. And it appeared, now many days had passed, so many pastimes took place in between. It appeared as if that for those number of days which had passed, Krishna, he was just standing at one place, totally like something, some immovable mountain. It appeared like Krishna was another immovable mountain. And Krishna's anklets and bracelets, it appeared like swans who had gone to sleep in a crystal clear pond of Krishna's body. For a long time, it appeared that these ornaments of Krishna, like swans who had gone to sleep in a crystal clear pond, and Krishna's limbs were compared to the beautiful crystal clear water of that pond. And as all the Brajvasis were just having nice pastimes and having nice verbal discussions with Krishna, at one point of time, Krishna terrified everyone. As Krishna, his one hand was occupied lifting the Govardhan hill, with the other hand, the right hand, Krishna pulled out his flute. And Krishna said, I want to play some flute now. And Madhumangal and other cowherd boys, they came running. Krishna, don't do that. Don't play this flute now, because we know the power of your flute playing. Whenever you play your flute, we have seen that something which is solid turns into liquid, and something which is liquid becomes solidified. So we know the power of your flute playing. So now, already this mountain is up there, and if you play this flute, this mountain will turn into liquid. Already there is so much liquid outside. And if this mountain also turns into liquid, then everywhere there will be a big deluge. And Krishna, he said, don't worry. The power of my flute can work in wonderful ways. And Krishna started playing upon his flute. Again, Mother Yashoda came running. And Mother Yashoda, she brought some warm, soft cakes dipped in soft, creamy butter. And she held in front of Krishna that, Krishna, just have this. It's been days, you haven't had anything. And Krishna couldn't resist that offering which Mother Yashoda had. Can you imagine Mother Yashoda in her own palms holding that offering and offering to Krishna? So Krishna couldn't resist. And Sanatana Goswami explains in Vaishnava Toshini that at that point of time, Krishna handed Govardhan to Nanda Maharaj and Balaramji to enjoy that nice offering of Mother Yashoda. And again, Krishna then resumed back, lifting the Govardhan hill. And of course, after 7 days and seven nights, now Indra was so infuriated that he tried his level best. And now, when he realized that what mistake he has committed, he actually started crying. And the Samvartaka clouds, they also started crying, realizing that whom have we followed. So the Acharyas explained that the Samvartaka clouds, they started crying, Indra started crying. So all the rain was mixed now more with the added tears of Samvartaka as well as Indra. And then Krishna, he then knew that the end of this pastime is now coming. And the end of the seventh day, Krishna, he exclaimed that now all of you, you can go out and have a nice look at Vrindavan, which has had just a ceremonial bath for these 7 days. And you can enjoy the beauty of Vrindavan now. So as Krishna asked everyone to come out from under the Govardhan hill, all the Brajavasis, they came out. And it was only the cows which were left behind, because the cows, they were thinking that we'll go only along with Krishna. So they were waiting for Krishna to also come out. And Krishna, with his flute, he just tapped on the cows that you also go out. And then the cows also, they came out from under Govardhan hill, and Krishna just tossed it back in its original position. And that's how Krishna, he showed his opulence to all the Brajavasis for 7 days and seven nights. But more than showing his opulence, Lord Sri Krishna, he was actually showing the unflinching faith which these Brajavasis had, that when Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj to stop Indra Yajna and do Govardhan Puja, immediately Nanda Maharaj agreed. So that was the first time in this pastime of Govardhan Leela. You can see the faith. And then when the torrential rains were showered upon them, instead of again performing Indra Yajna, they ran towards Krishna to take shelter of Krishna. And thirdly, they were not doubting that this Govardhan hill will fall upon them. When Krishna said, all of you come under it, immediately everyone came under Sri Govardhan. So in this particular pastime, we can see that how Krishna, he actually exhibited his opulence in order to exemplify the faith of the Brajavasis. Just recently one person, he was talking to me and he said, he was speaking about faith and he said that you guys, you believe so much in God, put so much faith, but you actually limit yourself because you put so much faith. And then he made a quote, said that you can do very little with faith. So then I immediately remembered another quote I said, and you can't do anything without faith. So faith, what to speak in trying to love God, how much faith, unflinching faith we require. Like there is a story of a king who asked a sage that how does this faith in God works? So the sage said, if Lord asks me to jump from a cliff, I will immediately jump, having full faith in my Lord. And you are asking how that faith works? Two things will happen. One is either he'll be down there to hold me when I'll jump from that cliff, or secondly, he'll teach me how to fly. So when I'll jump from the cliff, having full faith in Lord, who will ask me to jump, either these two things will happen. Like this one incident took place in a city in Midwest America, Oklahoma. It's a very unusual name I came across. So in this particular city, there was a big famine, a drought. And all the farmers, they were approaching the priest that, you know, you are the final resort, do something. We are suffering no rains for last year. So he convened a meeting, a prayer meeting, and he called all the farmers that, please, all of you come, and we'll pray to the Lord Almighty that he should shower rains. So all the farmers, they came to the church, and the priest, before he could begin his prayers, he told that, actually, I was hoping something different, but when I see all of you, I'm thinking that you should all go back except for this one farmer. And everyone looked at that farmer. That farmer was holding an umbrella. And the priest said that, over here I can see the unflinching faith which this farmer has in the Lord Almighty for the prayers to shower rains, that he has come with an umbrella, where all of you, you just came without it. So since you don't have any faith that your prayers will work and the Lord will shower rains, you can all go back. It's only this farmer over whose fields it will be showered rains. And it so happened that only the fields of that particular farmer, the rains were showered. So herein, in our sadhana bhakti, this particular quality of faith, which is so much emphasized, we learn in this particular month from this pastime of Sri Govardhan Leela, wherein Krishna is exemplifying the quality of the Brajavasis in putting faith. And then secondly, we require determination. And this Damodar Leela is that Leela in which the determination of Mother Yashoda was exemplified. In fact, this entire pastime of Sri Damodar Leela is nothing but Yashoda and Damodar competing with each other to express their love for each other. And in that competition, Yashoda Mai won. It was Yashoda Mai's determination which won over Krishna. So much so that Shukadeva Goswami, in a beautiful verse, is explaining, Nemam virincho na bhavo na shrir apyanga samshraya prasadam lebhire gopi yattat prapya vimuchyatat. He's explaining that not even Shiva, not even Lakshmi, not even Lord Brahma, they had this good fortune as this one gopi, Yashoda Mai, had, who could bind Krishna in this particular pastime. And it was not only from the point of view of Yashoda Mai, but Shukadeva Goswami, in a beautiful verse, explains from the point of view of Krishna that why Krishna performed this particular pastime. So Shukadeva Goswami explains, Evam sandarshita hyanga harina bhritya vashyata swavashenapi krishnena yasyedam sheshvaram vashe. That Krishna was actually showing to all the devatas, as he was being tied to the wooden grinding mortar. That particular scene, Krishna tied to the wooden grinding mortar, which we worship. Now this is something amazing, that Krishna wants this particular form of his to be worshipped for the whole month. And Krishna is famous as a prisoner of Mother Yashoda. Actually, it's prisoner of Mother Yashoda's love. And Krishna, who was, you know, made into a prisoner because he stole, he became a thief. And Krishna is famous as a thief, Makhan Chor. He's glorified for that. Now, which person would want to have this kind of introduction? Glorified as a thief. Imagine if somebody is introduced that such and such person, he has done this education and is working in this particular company, and by the way, he's also a thief. In his childhood, he used to steal some pencil as Krishna in his childhood. Now, Krishna performed so many other tasks when he grew up. But he relishes more as being introduced as Makhan Chor. And, you know, we are waving our deep to Krishna being tied like a prisoner. And Krishna is allowing that, yes, you can publicize, you know, this photo of mine as, you know, as a prisoner. So he is showing evam sandarshita to all the Ishwaras, to all these devatas, that take darshan, complete darshan of my being tied like this to this wooden grinding motor. Have complete darshan of this. You can click photos, put in your heavenly walls, because this is showing my bhritya vashyata, that how I have become subservient. And we had discussed last year from this Damodar Leela, how Krishna gave up so many of his opulences in getting the love of Mother Yashoda. Krishna, who is called as Atmaram, he relinquished the position of being Atmaram by being desirous of Mother Yashoda's love. And when Mother Yashoda stopped feeding milk to protect that milk inside, Krishna, who is known as Aptakam, who is satisfied with a little offering, became atripta, became dissatisfied. And Krishna, who is known as Trigunatita, who is beyond the three modes, he became angry on Mother Yashoda for not feeding him. So that was another opulence which Krishna gave up, being Trigunatita. And Krishna, who is Lakshmipati, who is the pati of not just one Lakshmi, but Sahasra Lakshmi, he became a thief. Imagine Lakshmipati becoming a thief. So Lakshmipati became thief in his own home. And in our childhood, I remember we used to sing one bhajan about this Damodar Leela, in which Yashoda Mai is asking Krishna, that Krishna, why of all things you only steal makhan, this butter? There are so many things one could steal. Why the complaints are always about this makhan? So I remember that the wordings were that Krishna is telling to Mother Yashoda, I steal only makhan because it has the word ma. And because it has the word ma in it, and therefore whenever I, you know, encounter this makhan, I remember you. And because I remember you, so what I have to do is just steal and associate with that makhan to keep remembering you. And Mother Yashoda was in tears just hearing that. So that Lakshmipati, he gave up the position of being Lakshmipati by stealing butter in his own home. And Krishna, who is fear personified, everything in this universe is moving about, the phenomena are taking place, it's because of the fear of Krishna. And here is Krishna, he's muhushvasa kampa, you know, he's taking deep breaths out of fear, and the three lines on his neck, they are just out of fear, trembling. Now, Krishna, death personified, who is fearful of Krishna. And we see in this material world how every living entity is so much fearful of death. Krishna is fearful of just Mother Yashoda's whipping stick. A small little stick. Krishna is fearful of that. I remember His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining once that if Saddam Hussein, Osama Laden, and you know, all these personalities, if all of them put together, if they would try to fear Krishna, or if they would try to attack with their biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons, Golok Vrindavan, they wouldn't even cause a grain of fear in Krishna's heart. And here was a little stick, Mother Yashoda's hand. This little stick instilled so much fear that Krishna was trembling, shivering, And all these, you know, symptoms were taking place of fear in his transcendental body. So Krishna, who is fear personified, he becomes fearful of Mother Yashoda, giving up that opulence. And Krishna, who cannot be captured by big yogis, Mother Yashoda could easily catch Krishna. Now, even Duryodhan, if you know, in Mahabharata, he tried Damodar Leela. Duryodhan also wanted to tie Krishna when Krishna came as Shanti Dutan. Duryodhan wanted to tie his Vishwaroop. Now, can you imagine this baby Krishna? So many ropes were used, and it was always two fingers too short. So imagine Duryodhan trying to arrest Vishwaroop. So herein we can see the difference, that Duryodhan trying to tie Krishna and Krishna's Vishwaroop, and herein Mother Yashoda, she trying to tie Krishna. But because of her pure love, she could do that. Big yogis who can run, can go at the speed of mind, are not able to reach even the toenails of Krishna. Mother Yashoda could capture Krishna and bind Krishna. And the same Mukunda, who gives liberation to everyone within this material world, he couldn't untie himself. So that was the determination of Mother Yashoda. In fact, Krishna, he was determined not to be tied initially. But then when he saw the determination of Mother Yashoda, that so many ropes she's bringing, and it's been hours, she's fatigued, she's sweating, but she's not giving up. So Krishna, he gave up. He lost that match. And Mother Yashoda won over, her determination won over. And we hear that the two fingers which were short, they represent the determination of a devotee, the endeavor of a devotee, and the mercy of Krishna. One time, in one program, I was speaking about this pastime, and one child, he asked this question. He asked that, you said that one finger is our determination and the other finger is Lord's mercy. But my finger is very thin. So if my finger is very thin, how will that, will take place, that both the fingers, as Yashodama's finger, you are saying, and Krishna's finger of mercy, Yashodama's finger of determination, that particular match could tie Krishna. But if, in my case, my finger is so thin, then how is it possible that, Krishna can be tied by me also? So I was thinking that, yes, as far as we are concerned, if we compare our finger to the determination which we want to have for Krishna, is very thin. So thin our determination is. But because Krishna is anor aniyan mahato mahiyan, he can expand his finger and make his finger as big as possible to accommodate the left of space. So Lord Krishna is so huge in his mercy that even if we may have the tiniest and the thinnest finger, which means the thinnest determination, just one step, as we say, we take, even if it is baby step, Krishna will take his Vaman step. And we know what kind of step Lord Vaman Dev had taken. So in this particular pastime, what we learn in this month of Kartik is from Mother Yashoda, the determination to have Krishna. And then of course, Krishna, he exemplified this quality of ultimate surrender through the gopis in the episode of the Rasa dance, Rasa Leela. In fact, the topmost emotions were reciprocated with the topmost devotees of Krishna in this Rasa Leela. And of course, we are not qualified over here to discuss from this particular Leela, but the aspect which we have to learn, the lesson which we have to learn from these surrendered devotees of Lord Sri Krishna, the gopis, is that unmovable and wholesale surrender of theirs unto the lotus feet of Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, once he said that when we discuss Ras Leela without that attitude of surrender, when Sahajiyas discuss Ras Leela without that aspect of surrender towards Krishna, then it is like playing an orchestra in a graveyard. So if somebody goes to a graveyard and starts playing an orchestra, then only some ghost will come and dance. So when we are full of anarthas, which are like ghosts, and then we go delve into these particular esoteric pastimes, it is simply like playing orchestra in a graveyard. And it's comparing that graveyard to that contaminated heart. One time one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was explaining that how Ras Leela is a blend of rasa and surrender. It's a blend of pure rasa and pure surrender. So this disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, can I enter into Ras Leela also? And Prabhupada just closed his eyes and said, yes, you can enter through chanting Hare Krishna. When you chant Hare Krishna, then Radha and Krishna, they dance on your tongue. And what is Ras Leela? Ras Leela is nothing but Radha and Krishna dancing. So when you chant Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna will dance on your tongue. And if you keep chanting, they'll enter into your heart. While dancing, they'll enter your heart. And your heart will become Rasasthali. So everything is there in chanting Hare Krishna. So simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the surrender of gopis is seen that when Krishna played upon his celebrated flute, it is explained that the power of the sound of that flute was so intense that one gopi explains that she was cooking and the firewood which she was using for the cooking, the firewood started to melt. Hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, the firewood started to melt and the flame started to sputter. It was a sputtering flame. And because she couldn't cook and she herself was totally captivated by the sound, immediately they started running towards Krishna. And Srimati Radharani, she explained the glories of Krishna's playing flute. She's explaining that this flute is more powerful than Govardhan. Because for Govardhan, you required only one finger. But to handle this flute, you require all of your fingers. So therefore, this flute is more powerful in one sense than Govardhan. And all of them, they started running towards Krishna in the middle of the night. And the sound of the flute was arranged in such a way by Krishna that each gopi was hearing only her name. The sound of the flute was getting translated into each name of just each gopi. So it was not that all of them, they knew that rest all gopis are also coming along with us. What each gopi thought, that Krishna is just calling me. So herein we can see their surrender, that they were taking this huge risk that I am going alone in the middle of the night to attend that Sharad Purnima. Now we come every year to attend Sharad Purnima. And yes, sometimes it gets late. We know the local trains, you know, they ply till 1 o'clock. So we can go back home. But as far as the gopis are concerned, when they celebrated the Sharad Purnima, they knew no going back from here. We won't be accepted back. So they had decided in their hearts that this is what we are going to do. Surrender wholesale now. In fact, what to speak of leaving, having so much risk of their families, not returning back, not being allowed to be back home. When they reached, Krishna started rebuking them that, why did you come? For the person whom they left everything, Krishna started rebuking. And one of the gopi explained to Krishna that this is a wonderful example she gave of her surrender to Krishna. So she's saying that you are asking us to go when you call, playing upon your flute. and now you are asking us to go. But let me tell you that we can never leave you, even though you may leave us and rebuke us like this. And she gives the example of a fish. That a fish, when it is enjoying in the body of water, and it's so much associated with water practically throughout her life. But when the fisherman comes with a net and throws the net and catches the fish, so what happens? The water which the fish has associated for so long, the water leaves the net, leaves the association of the fish, and water saves itself. And only the fish is caught. And as the fish is caught in that net, the fish is flapping. Flapping for what? To go back into that water. To go back into that same water which betrayed her. So the fish is flapping to go back into that same water which actually became so disloyal. So what to speak of us who have come under the shelter of you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, we surrender wholesale unto you, even if you are rebuking us, you are testing us. So that was the surrender of the gopis. And it is explained that the surrender of the gopis was nirupadhi. It was without any cause, without any upadhis. It was not that Krishna was providing, you know, some lipsticks or saris from Lohi Bazaar to the gopis here and there every now and then. Therefore, you know, they were expressing their surrender. Like in the material world, it said, no romance without finance. So that was not taking place as far as, you know, these gopis surrendering to Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, he was speaking to some businessmen, and there was some senior Prabhupada disciples sitting over there also in the room. So Prabhupada told to these businessmen that these disciples of mine sitting over here, they are so surrendered that even if somebody offers them $10 million, they will reject it. And all these disciples, they said, Jai Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, wait, nobody has offered you yet. But Prabhupada said, I know. Even if somebody offers you, you will reject that. There was one disciple of Prabhupada who was making life members in Delhi. So he came up to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, every day I have to travel in these DTC buses, Delhi Transport Corporation, to make life members. What will happen to me if I die making these life members? Prabhupada said, then you will become a life member. And then he explained that what is real life membership? Real life membership is how the gopis surrendered their lives to Krishna. So with this particular pastime, we learn that how Krishna, he exemplified the surrender of the gopis, and how we can learn this particular quality in our sadhana bhakti in this particular month of Kartik. And of course, Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, which also takes place in this particular month of Kartik. And Srila Prabhupada is that personality who embodied all of these three qualities of unflinching faith, determination, and ultimate surrender. Srila Prabhupada, when he was a grahastha, some senior sannyasis, disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, had come to his house. And Prabhupada was just like a host arranging for all the prasadam and other things for these sannyasis. And they were discussing amongst themselves, expressing this doubt as to the prophecy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that every town and village, my name will be chanted. So while they were discussing, they were expressing their doubt. And Srila Prabhupada overheard that. He was just Abhay Babu, a grahastha that time. But he had so much faith in the prophecy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the words of his spiritual master that as they were leaving the house, Prabhupada said in a very stern voice that one day some surrendered disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta will prove that prophecy true. But it won't be one amongst you. And they were shocked. The way Prabhupada spoke that. Many years later, one of the sannyasis from that group saw in Calcutta a Western Vaishnava, which was, you know, Vaishnava Tilak and Vaishnava Tarya, Kanthi Mala. So immediately approached and, "How come you look like a Westerner and you have a Gaudiya Vaishnava Tilak?" And this devotee, he showed the Back to Godhead magazine he was distributing. And he showed, "This person made me a Gaudiya Vaishnava." And that was the photo of Srila Prabhupada. And this sannyasi, he remembered many years ago, "I had gone, this is Abhay Babu. Abhay Babu, when did he take sannyas and when did he preach this message all over the world?" And he remembered, he told to this devotee, that, "I remember many years ago he had invited us and he had said this, that one surrendered disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will prove this prophecy to be true." So that was the unflinching faith which Srila Prabhupada had. Now Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, the place where everyone has so much faith in Krishna. So from that land of faithful devotees, he went to the land of the faithless people. He was in Bauri, 26 Second Avenue, he was lecturing, and one hippie got up and he asked, "Can you see God right now?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes. But there is one problem. You are coming in the way. Sit down." So he had to deal with these kind of people. You know, Prabhupada was staying at Radha Damodar close to Seva Kunj, and he had to go to Bauri and deal with these kind of people. But the faith which Srila Prabhupada had, that yes, this particular prophecy which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made and my spiritual master has ordered me, so definitely it has to be spread all over the world. Then determination. What kind of determination Prabhupada had? In fact, the conception of this Hare Krishna movement was through that verse, "Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, Ekeha Kuru Nandana." Prabhupada read that and he was convinced that yes, I have to take shelter of my spiritual master, and since he has ordered me to preach this message in English language, definitely I'll be successful. So he had that determination which he got from that particular verse which he read. So much so that just the initial days he reached America, and he was sitting in a park on a bench and he's talking to some American gentleman over there and introducing himself that he has 108 temples. Nothing was there. And Prabhupada is saying, 108 temples I have and millions of books are getting distributed. That was the kind of determination Prabhupada had, definitely, that this is going to come true. Srila Prabhupada, one time he arranged a program for some, you know, few dignitaries to come. It so happened that no one turned up because of some heavy rains. No one turned up. So Prabhupada, he put the tape recorder in front of him. And Prabhupada started speaking to the tape recorder. And he recorded that particular lecture of his. And that later on turned out to be the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So that was a determination of Prabhupada. Can you imagine? Just speaking to a tape recorder. No one around you. That was a determination Prabhupada had, that yes, this message is definitely going to transform the heart of everyone. And ultimately, the surrender of Srila Prabhupada. One time Srila Prabhupada, talking to Bhavananda Prabhu, he said that, "Actually, I didn't want to come to this material world. It was Krishna who asked me to come." Bhavananda Prabhu immediately, "What kind of language Prabhupada is speaking?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, I didn't want to come. Krishna, he asked me to come to this material world. I said, you know, I'm happy here. And material world is full of so much of miseries, temptations and maya. So Krishna said, don't worry, I'll take care of all of that. You just go down and print these books." And I had to surrender. So Prabhupada, he was speaking this, that when Krishna asked him to come, immediately he surrendered wholesale, and yes, I am here to spread this message on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. as he expressed in this one pastime. Shruta Kirti Prabhu was explaining that in Atlanta, he was massaging Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada's back, and Prabhupada was looking at the picture of Krishna Balaram. And looking at the picture of Krishna Balaram, Prabhupada said that it is so wonderful, Krishna, along with Balaram and other cowherd boyfriends, every day he goes herding the cows in the pasturing grounds. And then Prabhupada, he closed his eyes and he started explaining that Krishna, when he leaves his home, Mother Yashoda gives him the tiffin. And what is there in the tiffin of Krishna? Sandesh, rasgulla, peda, kachori, and all of these things. And as far as the other cowherd friends are concerned, they, in their tiffins, would carry only simple rice, dal, sabji. And as soon as they would reach the cowherd pasturing grounds over there, immediately they would snatch Krishna's tiffin, because they knew that Krishna's tiffin has this peda and sandesh in it. And Krishna would snatch their tiffin just to have the rice, dal, sabji. Krishna would relish that more. And then Krishna, he closed Srila Prabhupada. He paused for a moment and he said, I am missing all of those sandesh. I am missing those kachoris. I am missing those peras from Krishna's tiffin. And Shruta Kirti Prabhu, he stopped massaging for that time. He felt as if that Prabhupada is right now going to take off and just reach the pasturing grounds in Golok Vrindavan to enjoy the tiffin of Krishna. And then Prabhupada, he said, actually, the destiny of everyone in this Hare Krishna movement is to sit on the banks of Jamuna and enjoy a nice picnic with Krishna. So that was something which was very fulfilling, which Shruta Kirti Prabhu heard, that the destiny of everyone within this Hare Krishna movement is to sit on the banks of Jamuna and to enjoy a nice picnic with Krishna. Now, when that destiny will unfold, that's a good question. So over here, we see that this month of Kartik is such an auspicious month in which these wonderful pastimes, we just took three of these pastimes, and Krishna, who exemplified all of these wonderful aspects of devotional service, of faith, determination, and surrender. And of course, for us, it is Srila Prabhupada, because of whom we have got to know that, I didn't even know that Kartik was a month in the calendar. And we got to know that Kartik is a month, an auspicious month in the Vedic calendar. And what to speak of all these pastimes which took place in this month, what to speak of all these aspects of and the lessons which Krishna is teaching through these pastimes. And of course, Srila Prabhupada taught all this through his own personality. Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki
Jai.
Shri Kartik Vrata ki
Jai.
Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you all very much.